This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, March 17th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. The number of Coloradans hospitalized by COVID-19 has been increasing this week, but the state's infectious disease experts say it will take time to see if it's just a blip or part of a trend. Epidemiologist Rachel Herlihy says the state's overall case numbers have also stopped falling in recent days.
So this indicates to me that we're not yet at a place where we have population-level protection from the vaccine. It indicates to me that we really continue to need the strategies that we have been using, mask wearing, social distancing.
But disease experts did share some good news yesterday. They say they are not seeing as many people over the age of 70 being hospitalized with the virus, a trend they attribute to that group receiving the vaccine. On Tuesday, Governor Polis said Colorado has vaccinated 77% of residents ages 70 and older. The Montrose Press reported Tuesday evening that an independent external investigation into Delta Montrose Electric Association CEO Jason Bronick is now underway. His leave of absence began Friday, but he's still employed at the co-op. An acting CEO and acting president of Elevate Fiber have been named. Nearly a year has passed since a traffic stop in Kiowa County ended with Undersheriff Tracy Weisenhorn and Deputy Quentin Stump shooting Zach Gifford, an unarmed passenger, in his back. 11 months since the 39-year-old handyman's death in southeast Colorado, a state criminal investigation has concluded. District Attorney Josh Vogel has charged Deputy Stump with two counts of attempted second-degree murder and one count of assault with a deadly weapon. It's a rare prosecution of an officer for an on-duty killing in Colorado. Last week, the Kiowa County Independent published an investigative cover story called Three Bullets to the Back. Assisted by CoLab, an independent nonprofit statewide journalism coalition, Vice President Kamala Harris visited a Denver restaurant yesterday to promote the $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package that was approved last week. KVNF's Capitol coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Harris told a restaurant owner who had to furlough many of their employees that help was on the way. She said they will soon benefit from $28 billion in financial assistance included in the rescue plan.
You employ locally. You have folks who have been working with you for a very long time, and you had to close your doors for quite some time and then try to figure out how you could do carryout. And we want to make sure that you can stay open.
Several people lined up in downtown Denver to cheer for the vice president, who is on a nationwide tour promoting the rescue plan. Colorado Republicans were not as welcoming, saying in a statement Harris was in town to tout a, quote, partisan liberal wish list. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Federal government agencies in charge of managing public land have a new leader. KBUT's Christopher Biddle reports.
Deb Haaland became the first Native American cabinet secretary in history with her confirmation on Monday. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel says the U.S. Senate voted 51-40 in favor of Haaland. That did not include votes from Colorado Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper, who were trapped in Denver due to the snowstorm. As a New Mexico congresswoman, Haaland was a reliable critic of the Trump administration's push to open more public land to oil and gas development. Here she is explaining her take on the matter during her confirmation hearing.
We need to care as much about the environment as we do about the fossil fuel infrastructure in your state and other states. We need to balance those priorities. And I feel that, yes, sometimes it might seem like a tricky sort of balancing act, but I feel very strongly that if we have a mind to protect our public lands for future generations, that we'll also be able to protect jobs for future generations as well.
Haaland opposes hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, and was one of the first lawmakers to support the Green New Deal. Her nomination received steady opposition from Republicans. For KBUT News, I'm Christopher Biddle.
And now today's feature story, the strict nursing home lockdown could be lifting. Kate Redmond has more.
The coronavirus pandemic has hit nursing homes and long-term care facilities the hardest. One-third of all deaths in the United States have been residents or staff of nursing homes, totaling over 130,000 people. Many others have suffered and died from isolation and neglect. The National Consumer Voice for Quality Long-Term Care is an advocacy group that was formed in 1975 to keep tabs on quality of care in nursing homes. They have been calling for federal guidance on how to allow visitation for families and community of residents without exposing them to COVID-19. For a year, residents have been on a strict lockdown affecting the health and well-being of frail elders. On Friday, Consumer Voice had planned a virtual day of action to advocate for changes in federal guidelines on visitation. 2 days prior, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, issued those changes. This turned their event into an informational webinar on the implications of these new federal guidelines. Here is Lori Smetanka of Consumer Voice.
So our original plan for today was to mark the 1 year point of the lockdown on long-term care facilities, whereby access to residents and the facilities themselves have been severely restricted, and to have a day of action to raise the voices of residents and families and to call on policymakers to lift the lockdown in a safe way. We at the Consumer Voice, like a lot of you, have been advocating for a return to safe, responsible visitation practices that would give residents access to those they have relied on most for support.
Evan Schulman is the director of the Division of Nursing Homes for CMS. In his presentation, he talked about what has changed in the pandemic landscape and three critical points to follow as visitation opens up.
We are extremely encouraged by the drop in cases, and we are also encouraged by the percentage of residents that appear to be getting vaccinated. And even more so, we're excited about what this could mean for in the future. So what we say in the guidance is that if the positivity rate in the county that the nursing home resides in is greater than 10%, and the percentage of residents that are vaccinated in the facility is less than 70%, then only vaccinated residents should have visitation. The second area is when there's an outbreak. So we need to be sure that COVID is contained. So what we're trying to get at here in our outbreak guidance for visitation is, look, if a case pops up, you don't have to pause everything for 14 days. That's what the previous guidance says. But we do need to know that the cases of COVID are isolated. And the way we do that is through doing one round of what's called outbreak testing, where everyone, residents, staff, everyone is tested for COVID. And if the results of that test reveal that the outbreak is really just contained to one person or even a few people, then really visitation can occur in all those other areas.
The third point Schulman makes is that hygiene practices must continue according to CDC mandates. Consumer Voice calls this a small step forward, as they are guidelines, not policy. And not all nursing homes have the capacity to schedule visitors each and every day. But as Jocelyn Bogdan of Consumer Voice says,
the isolation and neglect is killing more people than COVID is.
For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Wednesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond. This week is Sunshine Week, a nationwide effort to show the importance of open government and the dangers of excessive secrecy. More info at newsleaders.org. Support local independent public media by donating to KVNF during our membership drive. Go to kvnf.org or call 1-866-KVNF-NOW.